Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. In a down economy, state legislatures around the country are struggling to balance providing services with educating their citizens. In Louisiana, in recent years, higher education has endured dramatic cuts in state funding, since by state law, the only parts of the budget available to cut are health care and higher education. In just a few minutes, we'll look at some proposed legislation that would free up other parts of the state budget for cuts. First, though, at the Board of Regents level, officials are looking to improve the efficiency of higher education by reducing the number of programs that graduate only a few students a semester. Joining me to talk about how this affects the University of Louisiana at Monroe is ULM Provost Dr. Stephen Richters. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me on today.
The last couple of weeks, you've spent a lot of your time handling the university's response to the report by the Board of Regents on low completer programs. Tell us about how that's going.
About a month ago, the Board of Regents announced an additional low completer review. And this is a process whereby the Board of Regents identifies programs which are considered low completers, have a few number of graduates over a three-year period, and they ask you to defend them. In this case, they've asked us to classify those programs which I identify as low completers as either programs that we will terminate as an action, that we will basically consolidate with other programs as an action, or we can ask to continue. This particular process was very well organized. They got very specific forms to indicate the types of arguments that they would react to. And so we've been working very, very hard on this for the last several weeks.
And I know you've been putting in some late hours. What is the how does the concept of combining programs as opposed to cutting them factor into the decision-making process?
Well, sometimes you'll have a low completer program. Let's take a look at, for example, music. Music's a very low completer program. It really has had very few graduates the last couple of years. To be a low completer, you have to have average less than 8 graduates a year for the last 3 years. So they've averaged about 4 graduates the last 3 years. And so they're a low completer. And as such, without a good argument, they would be asked to be terminated. We have a music education major that has plenty of completers. It's completed 8, 9, 10 the last few years. And it takes many of the same courses as a music major does. And the only difference is some of the performance courses are not taken by the music education majors. We're going to combine the two majors. It'll be a bachelor's of music, and there'll be a performance option, and there'll be a music education option.
And that's something that Dr. Bruno had spoken about a couple of weeks ago, in the nature of, for as long as universities have been pushed to diversify, that maybe this is a time that the consolidation is going to be the best answer in a lot of cases.
Right, and I think the music example gives a good example of this. What we've done is we've had our music education, we've broken into three pieces. We have a vocal option, we have a vocal and instrumental option, and we have an instrumental option. And so this will combine everything into one single degree now. So instead of having 4 music degrees out there, we'll have a single music degree with several options within it.
So for the programs that you're making the case to keep, what kinds of arguments are you using in these documents going to Board of Regents?
Well, I'll use an interesting program, our political science program. Several years ago, we hired 3 new professors. They really hit the ground running. They've averaged less than 3 completers over the last 3 years, but you have to remember they showed up in 2007, and it takes several years for people that they've attracted to graduate. The number of majors, I believe, have grown from 17 to 65 in 4 years. Those people that came in 2007 that they attracted from both as beginning freshmen and as students from within the university to their program will begin to graduate this year in force. I believe they've had 4 graduate already this year, and they'll 7 more will graduate in the spring, so that's 11. So I think that this type of argument is a very interesting argument. It argues that the program actually has been rebuilt. It's very strong right now, and if you look at the demographics, it's only going to be stronger. So I think this is an argument that that they will be interested in. I believe the Board of Regents will accept this, and I believe political science will go through.
There's been a lot in the news about the Board of Regents looking to consolidate programs across the state rather than having multiple programs in different parts of the state, centralizing those at a particular region or at a particular university. What kind of arguments are you making for hey, there's a such and such program here, but it's valuable to have that program both here and at a different university on the other side of the state?
Right. It's a very tough question. There's regional issues. For example, let's take a look at the nursing program. We have a nursing program here. They have a nursing program in Shreveport. They have a nursing program in Lafayette. They have it in Baton Rouge. And the reason is that it's a regional need. And our particular nursing program satisfies a regional need of this area. So that's a critical one. Another one would be communication studies. Ours is a locum pleader, and there's several locum pleader communication studies programs across the state. But the communication, the speech communication skill is so intrinsic to graduates that because of that intrinsic nature of the discipline, it may be appropriate to keep it here even if it's duplicated elsewhere. It's kind of an intrinsic skill for a university graduate to have.
Well, I know you've been putting in quite a lot of extra work on this. We wish you the best in getting those arguments just right to make the correct appeal to the Board of Regents.
Yeah, I've worked on it, but I've had my staffs, the deans have been working on it, the faculty have been working on it. So it's really been a comprehensive university project, not just my office.
Also in the news this week, and since you deal with so much of the financial aspects of the university, we wanted to talk about Governor Jindal's proposals for – there are three different bills that propose to change the way a lot of the budget is handled statewide. And there are some potential benefits to that for the education, for higher education. Let me start that question over again. There are three bills that Governor Jindal has put together in the upcoming legislature that propose to change the way cuts are made in times of lean times in the state of Louisiana. Can you give us an overview of what those bills could potentially do and maybe how that would look for higher education in the state?
Well, the current state's budget challenges are considerable, and they have been for several years. The three bills that the governor's introduced will provide a greater budget flexibility during the budgeting process. Right now, many of the funds in the state are constitutionally protected, statutorily protected, and the two that aren't are health care and higher education. And this will give the governor, the legislator, the ability to spread the cuts, budget reductions across more areas. To be frank, the budget deficit is so significant that if you apply it simply to health care and higher education, you may devastate both of those rather critical areas for the state.
And so what potential benefits does this have, being able to have those cuts come from other places?
Well, I think that the benefit basically is that we share equally. I think that both the Louisiana's economy, its budget, and the budgets of the rest of the states. You know, everybody's seen Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana on the news. And every time they show up on the news, they have a board of the states that are in trouble. And almost every state is depicted in red because of the budget difficulties. So Louisiana is no different. But because of the size of this, I think we have to treat this differently than we have in the past. And I think we have to relook at resizing what our state government does across the board. So it's just not a problem with health. It's not a problem with higher ed. It's really a problem with how you allocate monies across the entire state. And it will clearly take legislative action to allow the governor and the legislators to do this.
Speaking of the budget, can you give us an update? The pressure has been lowered a little bit on what's going to be happening in this current budget year for higher education, but there are still cuts to be made.
Well, you know, I think the blood pressure of everybody in higher education is still pretty high. There's been a lot of rhetoric. There's a lot of discussion. We've gone from ULM. It's been discussed as high as a $24 million budget cut. We seem to be sitting around in our thoughts somewhere $8 to $12 million, which is significant. I must tell you that if I would have ever conceived 5 years ago of hoping for only a $6 million budget cut, I just don't think I could have conceived of that back then. But it looks like we're sitting in somewhere between 8 and 12. The legislators we've talked to have indicated that it's a very difficult budget year. They believe in their hearts that there's going to be a severe budget reduction. The rhetoric has changed in the last few weeks. The governor has begun to ameliorate his rhetoric a little bit. We've got some bills. We've got people talking. There's a number of ideas. But there's still a $1.6 billion deficit to be dealt with over time. And I think it's going to take the legislative session before we really see what's going to happen. And so we're busy making plans within plans, so that when we understand what we have to work with next year, we can act appropriately.
So what's that budget planning process look like here on campus?
Here on campus, it's a rather wide process. Our process involves deans, college committees, campus committees. We're about ready to move into that process again. We've been looking, trying to identify what we think the range is going to be. There's certainly a different discussion if you're talking about the devastating effect of a $24 million cut.
Right. How has that conversation changed over the last
six weeks? This is over the last 4 or 5 months. We've been trying to get a feel for exactly what plans we need to make and approximately some idea of worst-case scenarios, both for academics and the non-academic areas within the university. And I think we're pretty close to beginning the formal process. We've had budget committees take a look this year. The deans have made a look. We've got a program review. We've got the low completer review. And so I think we're pretty close for the next few weeks to begin to bring the college committees in to look at what we're thinking to help us make plans and then work through the rest of the committee process. So our process will be similar to the process that we've used in years past, and it'll be a very broad-based process.
Because even as arduous as that seems, it's a process that worked last year and went through the cuts last year, being able to both the mid-year cuts and the end-of-year cuts. Having a broad range of people involved helped.
Yeah, well, I understand the university well. So does the president, so do the deans, but so does the faculty, and so do the directors. And so I think that there's always ideas that they have that I might not think of that's clearly occurred in the past. And so when you make it a broad-based process, you have the best chance of structuring it in such a way as university is a stronger when we go through it. And I think that's I think the other beauty of it is that everybody feels like they have a seat at the table. Everybody knows someone on one of the committees that they can talk to. And so everybody feels like they have a seat at the table. And I think that's important.
After talking about much of the serious business of university funding, Dr. Richters, there are also a number of things going on over the weekend that can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is going to be a big weekend, as they most often are these days. We have several events. We've got a large alumni event on Saturday. It's a Hall of Fame, and they'll be inducting Dr. Vines, the former president, into the hall. They'll be inducting Marty Booker, a professional football player, a great player for us. Lori Briscato, a great softball player for us, and Mary Arney, one of the best tennis players of all time. She's a fabulous college tennis player. On the academic side, on Saturday, we have the Louisiana Academy of Sciences here this weekend. They'll be meeting, discussing scientific theory and presenting papers, and this was organized by our own ULM's Dr. Ann Finley in the Department of Biology. On the athletic side, we've got a basketball doubleheader on Saturday. And during that doubleheader, Glenn Salter, one of our finest basketball players, and our Olympian basketball player, his jersey will be retired during the game. So come on out this week, and there's something at ULM for everybody.
Dr. Stephen Richters is the provost here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Dr. Richters, we look forward to more updates through low completers and also on the budget in the future. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Jay.
Comments or questions about the show can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu or send them to ULM Forum, care of KEDM Public Radio, 250 Stubbs Hall, 401 Bayou Drive, Monroe, Louisiana, 71209. Podcasts of the ULM Forum are available online at kedm.org in the listening room.